This is gonna hurt.
It's time for the Suffering Podcast. When our eyes first open upon being born, those we see around us are all that we know. Our hopes for survival rest solely within their hands, as we are the most vulnerable that we will ever be in our entire lives. Their grace allows us to move further in this world. As we grow, with each year, those around us become less about survival and more about support, teaching us the values that will make us good human beings, guiding our actions in both good times and bad. Some of us are fortunate to have a strong foundation in which to construct our lives. Others have nothing but sandy, unstable ground to build upon. Whether your family is blood or not, they leave an indelible mark on how your life unfolds. I'm Kevin Donaldson here with Mike Felice, and on this episode of the Suffering Podcast, we welcome back our family. That's Mark Henger and Ashley Marie Turi. I say all three names, Ashley, to discuss the suffering of family dynamics. They have probably one of the most interesting family dynamics I've ever heard of in my life, and we brought them in tonight. We brought them back. They're both former guests to talk about that. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
That's nice to see brother and sister sitting in the same room. We want to give a big shout out to our marquee sponsor. That's Toyota of Hackensack. We don't trust anybody, but we do trust Toyota of Hackensack. So if you're looking for a car, go to toyotahackensack.com. Let them find you a car.
And all I got to say is strap up, because we've had so much fun already.
Strap on, strap up, whatever you want to do.
So you had to go there already.
Well, you egged me on. Listen, you threw a softball up there. You think I'm not going to hit it? So thanks. You know, the cool thing about both of you is you've become very near and dear to us. We talk about you a lot because you're big supporters of ours, and it's an unlikely friendship. I remember the first time Ashley was coming in, and you vetted us.
Yeah. You better believe it.
Big time.
We've had a couple conversations about that. We're like, well, who are these guys? You know, like, we're going to bring you down into a basement, kick the shit out of you or something.
Right, it was down in the bay. We had it in the dungeon back recording. Then.
And you know, the cool thing about Ashley's episode is the same questions that we had about you, a lot of people have had. But they've been too afraid to ask you because they don't want to offend you. They're trying to be kind. But that's why we wanted to get it out. And you were so open. I can't thank you enough for that.
I mean, that was great. Open and honest. That was a great episode. That was a lot of fun.
And then, Mark, you came in. And like as soon as we recorded Ashley told me about you. I'm like, yeah, we got to do it.
We need him. Him
too. But we brought you both in here for a very, very good reason. But before we get into that, our social media question. And it comes – I love this name. The guy was – or girl or whoever it was, Crack-a-lackin. It just makes me – it makes me laugh. Since you both are in the life-saving fields, I pulled this one, and it says, what is the most impressive Good Samaritan act you've ever witnessed? I like to go clockwise. No offense to anybody. Mark, lead this one off.
So this is going to be a segue for a future guest of yours, but I had responded to an emergency call, and it was a very severe call. A person was run over by a vehicle, and out of nowhere, this Good Samaritan comes running up behind me and says, let me help. And he's pushing me out of the way. And I look at him. He's wearing scrubs. And I'm like, can I help you? What are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm a doctor. So I've learned the hard way. Well, what kind of doctor? Because usually they end up being a dentist, chiropractor. And he looks at him and he goes, no, I'm a trauma surgeon. And I was like, okay, all yours. And this guy dug right in and made a huge difference.
Ashley, what do you think?
It's hard to pick one. We see so many, like you said, we're in the medical field, so we see it all the time. Honestly, it's the everyday stuff that really gets me. The people that will stop for the old lady that fell on the sidewalk or the guy that fell in his driveway, and the neighbors are always out there. People are always willing to help.
Mike?
You know, one that comes to mind is we had a pretty bad car accident. It was like a rear end car accident. The guy's head snapped and he was just hanging over the steering wheel, you know? Before we got there, a guy jumped in the back seat and stabilized his neck. He had blood all over his hands and everything else. And I thought for a civilian to do that, to have the wherewithal to jump into a car like that and not worrying about people's blood or anything like that and just stabilize the guy's neck until everybody got there. I thought that was huge.
Most people run the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Or they get out their cell phone camera and they start videotaping the whole thing.
So does anybody here know the origins of the Good Samaritan? Okay, so it's a biblical thing. So the road to Jerusalem ran right through Samaria, and Jews and Samaritans were mortal enemies.
They hated each other. As a matter of fact, when they took the pilgrimage, they would go around Samaria.
Were you there that day?
Yes.
I know you're old.
They used to go around.
You laid the stones.
Around Samaria, because if they went through Samaria, there was a likelihood, there was a probability that they were going to be killed. So Jesus goes through Samaria and he's thirsty and he goes to the well and he sees a Samaritan woman and he asks for a drink. And, you know, it was unheard of for not only a man to talk to a woman, an unwed man to talk to an unwed woman. And this woman was not wasn't seen as a good person. She had five husbands and she was living with a guy who wasn't her husband. And woman drew water from the well, gave it to Jesus. And that's the good Samaritan story. And I thought it's such a beautiful story because to just put it in context, that's like saying somebody's a good Nazi. Okay. Yeah. For everybody to think about it. That person's a good Nazi. It's unheard of in our world. And we have a tendency to judge everybody by the lowest common denominator. We judge everybody by what we see, by what we hear, or how we're treated by somebody who may be just a little bit like them, but we got to be very careful with that, because although you may have had one bad experience with a group of people or a certain type of person, or you may be harboring feelings towards a certain group of people, don't judge everybody the same way. You're going to fail and you're going to be surprised. But the beautiful thing in that is when you open up your mind and you realize not everybody is the same, there's good Samaritans everywhere. There really is. You know, if somebody was racist and didn't like black people, well, guess what? A black person may be there to save your life one day.
Got that.
Or an Asian person, or a trans person, or a gay person, or you're never coming. So that's
I'm the one with the video camera.
Yeah, there's good Samaritans everywhere. And just an act of kindness to go against the grain, to me, that's the best good Samaritan that I can pick out. I don't know if that makes sense, but maybe it's just me rambling. Crack-a-lackin', thank you so much. Thank you so much for sending that one in. Keep sending in your questions. We will try to get them on the air.
I thought it was crack-a-lickin'. I was going to say that's Nick.
Oh, geez.
So, Ashley, you were on quite some time ago. I'm going to say a year and a half, probably. Yeah, Mark, you're about a year.
Yeah,
you're
episode about 84-ish.
84, so this is going to be episode 137. You're coming in. I want to give everybody a little recap on your episodes. Ashley, since you were the first to come in, the first one to brave into the studio when we were only on audio.
See, now he's not going counter.
No, I have to. I try to equal out. Yeah. I try to equal out.
He did vet you though.
I know he did. We talk him and I talk more than you think. We do. We call each other up. He's the one who introduced me to his trauma surgeon friend. And you know, I actually have a phone call with him this week. He's an interesting dude. But I want to give everybody a little recap on your story, your episode.
Well, I am a trans woman. I struggled with my gender identity, anxiety, depression all through my childhood and young adult years, eventually led me to full-blown addiction. And eventually I was able to overcome all that and finally embrace who I really am. And I'm here today fighting and trying to help the next person in line.
And I got to tell you, for being a trans woman, you bring some beautiful people into this studio.
No kidding.
What the hell?
Oh, jeez.
You know, you sell a pretty good product over there.
But I mean, just getting back to that, is it easier being a trans woman these days than it used to be? Because, I mean, now it's more accepted.
It's definitely easier in the whole, but it's actually harder dating.
Easier in the whole.
It's harder dating. Explain that one.
Being trans, we tend to date a lot of other trans women. Well, I'm lesbian. I identify as lesbian.
But so that doesn't make any sense. Like, you're trans. Like, yeah. Dating another trans woman doesn't make sense in my head.
A lot of stuff doesn't make sense up there.
Yeah, sure. But that's why I'm asking that question.
I identify as lesbian, so I date other trans women. And as a.
But you got an advantage over every lesbian out there. You understand that. It's an unlevel playing field.
It's not, though, because there's so many counterproductive parts to it. Like,
no, parts are exactly what I'm talking about.
I knew where he was going.
I know where he's going. I'm trying not to go there.
Music. Put that up there. So tell me, explain to me why it's more difficult.
Well, again, because like the lesbians date the lesbians, the bi girls date the bi girls. You'd think as a lesbian, you'd have options for both, or bi, you'd have options for both, but you really don't. It's very exclusive. And then, as I said, trans women tend to date a lot of other trans men and women, and that just your dating pool is drastically decreased.
Yeah, but those people who do date trans women, whether it's a man or a woman, I would venture, I would think that they would be more vested and more willing to give it their all rather than a regular, say, heterosexual couple. They sort of dip their toe in the water to see if they like it. Where this, it's a little bit more of a commitment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you've heard U-Haul lesbian. We're ready to move in after the first date.
And you have to sit here and listen to your sister talk like this. Do you want me to go get the bar of soap from the bathroom so you can wash your mouth out?
No, let's let it out.
You live with one of the most
intriguing.
Yeah, he says some shit that some of the shit that comes out of your partner's mouth is just like, I'm like, wow.
No, that's because you just turned them on and never turned them off. That's your fault.
Yeah, well, I but I love Nick. I love Nick to death. Same way I love both of you. Mark, what do you think? Just give everybody a little recap on your episode.
So you guys had reached out. We came in, my partner Nick and I. We talked about what it was like being a LGBTQ gay first responder coming out right after high school, getting involved in emergency services, dealing with all the hate and the comments and the
which is not
shoulders.
The traditional, that's not the traditional avenue you go to in the LGBTQ.
Yeah, it's a community. It's a male dominated field.
Right. Right.
And it's a highly type A heterosexual masculine. Like,
yeah. Just like the police department.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why I'm judging
all first responders generally.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very tough. And, again, you know, my first fire company wasn't too cool with it. I ended up moving and found a new company, new family. And was great, evolved myself, brought myself up, and then eventually found myself a house in another town, ended up moving again, and met that fire department, and they brought me in with open arms, and they're a huge, great family. A bunch of them are your followers.
Well, so as being a fireman and being gay, there's an enormous amount of things that they can say that are inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Enormous. And I'm sure you heard them all.
Sliding down a pole.
Sliding down a pole. You know, you're flaming more than the house. Like, I'm sure.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's what those cops say about us behind our back when they're sitting in the cop car while we're in
actually,
the house.
We defended you last week on an episode because somebody said all firemen are gay. And I said, well, I happen to know a gay fireman.
Yeah.
I'm not lying to you. Mike can vouch for this one. So I want everybody to understand that the reason that Mike and I can speak very candidly and openly with Mark and Ashley is because they, once you come in here, you are family. We hold that maxim very, 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 very dear to our hearts. And this is not a conversation that could be had over a first meeting. It wouldn't work.
No, we've grown to know you guys and appreciate everything you guys do, your support.
Well, you know, the thing is, me and Kevin, we don't judge. You know, I think that's the main thing about it. We don't judge. We'll let you come in here and say whatever you want. You know,
oh, we know.
I treat people the way they treat me. I don't care what you are. I don't care what your sexual orientation, what your race, anything like that.
That was your upbringing. What's your heritage?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm Italian.
Right.
You know, and I was never born in a racist, you know, type of atmosphere.
Right.
You know, I always said I didn't meet a black guy until I went to high school.
Contrary to that, I was. Very bigoted, very racist household. It wasn't until I moved away that my eyes sort of got opened that, no, just because somebody's a different color or different sexual orientation doesn't mean they're an asshole. Because I know plenty of people that are traditional, quote-unquote traditional, that are giant assholes.
Yeah, traditional assholes.
But at least you opened up, right? You could have stayed that way. You chose not to.
Well, I met the right people.
Right.
Like, that's what it is. I met the right people to show me the other way. And then they were willing to answer certain questions that I had.
It was right after his first gay experience.
Oh, man. You just broke Nick's heart.
It's got to come in with the gay jokes, don't you? Got to come in with the gay jokes.
It's better than submarine jokes.
So yeah, I don't know. You were looking for a submarine an hour ago.
Yeah, I was. I was. I was actually going to insure that submarine, you know, try to collect a little bit of money. But so did any of those names that you got called – did they stick in you a little bit?
When I was younger, they did. And then as I got older and realized it's just hate.
Was it something also you became a little bit more secure in yourself?
Oh, most certainly.
Yeah.
Most certainly. You know, as I matured and as I toughened up, those things and those people meant less and less.
You know, the funny
comments mean less and less too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been in situations where somebody might say something derogatory towards, and now with a different perspective, somebody might say something derogatory towards a gay or trans. And now we have a little bit more stake in the game where we would say, no, that's just really not true.
You got your cards.
We do.
we can whip them out.
Mark and don't whip anything out.
Oh, look at that.
Overkill. Oh, well, we got to get Derek to sign that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
May go right on my truck.
But Mark and Nick were kind enough to give us honorary, what is it? Straight allies of LGBTQ. And
plus.
But I know it's a joke. Like, I do.
Those were sincere.
It's kind of like a gag gift.
Correct. Okay?
But I take it very seriously. I wear that like, you have no idea how many times I've taken that out. And I go, somebody thought enough of us to give us this.
Right.
And whether it's a gag gift or not, I took it very, very seriously. Maybe I shouldn't. But
I got it right in my wallet. I carry it with me wherever I go.
It was sincere. Your guys' support and caring has uplifted my sister. It's uplifted me and the rest of our community.
Nick don't weigh too much, so it's not hard to uplift him.
He needs a cheeseburger is what he needs.
He's listening to this.
He needs a sandwich.
Not live, so we got about 4 weeks where we can run away.
He needs a sandwich.
We don't got to run. We just go out to eat.
How can you be Italian and let your partner be so skinny? What's the matter with you?
Because he's vegetarian.
Oh.
Keep pasta.
He loves pasta. Pasta, pierogies, pasta,
pizza,
french fries.
And french fries.
Pasta is a side dish to meat.
There's the carnivore.
Says the macho man. Yeah,
he doesn't have spaghetti and meatballs. He has meatballs and spaghetti.
So the only thing that's missing to this equation is you have another brother.
Correct.
Okay. And Ashley and Mark are brother and sister who your parents had to put up with things that most parents don't have to put up with or from a very early age, pray they never have to.
Right.
Put up with. So I wanted to bring you in here to speak about this family dynamic because there are other parents that are listening. You know, if you look at the mean age of most of our listeners, we're parent ages. And one day it's going to come, you know, I'm sure most parents hope it doesn't because it's a very difficult lifestyle. Not so much now, but it was always a difficult lifestyle where the son or daughter comes to them and says, I feel like a woman. I feel like a man or I'm gay. I'm whatever I am. And it's a difficult conversation to have with your kids. How did you both, from a very early age, you both knew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to agree with that.
Did your parents both know or was it until?
I think my mother knew. My father, I think, held out in denial as long as he could.
The Barbie dolls weren't a dead giveaway?
No, man, I was Tonka trucks and lighter fluid. So.
For me, it was the four hairy legs sticking out of his bed one day.
Four?
Yeah. Four?
Yours and two others or?
No.
Yours and two sets
was
more?
Probably the friends sleeping over, but one twin bed.
Yeah, right. Like one day at band camp.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a funny thing. I got a 13-year-old and he's got a girlfriend. And my wife is very...
She sleeps on the couch, right?
No, she doesn't sleep. Hell no. Hell no.
Coming to a four hairy legs coming out of his bed.
So, you know, my wife is very...
Better get him to manscaper.
My wife is very conscious that she's not a grandmother when her oldest is only 13. Like, that's the big conversation. Don't be in a room. You're not allowed to go in her bedroom. Make sure the parents are home and stuff. But if he was gay and would have one of his friends over and say we didn't know it, say we were in denial like your father, we would have... No problem. Hey, a friend sleeping over or, you know, a friend going in the bedroom. We would have no problem because we wouldn't see the threat there because our eyes aren't focused.
Well, there is no threat. You ain't making a baby.
This is true.
This is true.
Hey, Mom, can I borrow the lotion? Yeah. That would be the worst conversation. But yes, that is true. But like, I'm not worried about being a grandfather. I'm worried. I think they're too young to have sexual relations. That's just my opinion. But you know, if it was the other way around and say he was gay, there would be, because our eyes aren't looking that way.
Right.
Right. So was that your parents, especially your father, in denial where it would never be an issue? Support for the Suffering Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming.
Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle.
Inside the package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0, Weed Whacker Ear Nose Hair Trimmer, and the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant.
And we also got the Crop Reviver Ball Toner. This thing is a life changer. Along with that,
boxer briefs.
I'm going to tell you what, these are like high quality boxer briefs, and this is no joke. I'm not saying this just because their Manscaped sent it to us. These are nice. My boys are going to be quite happy in there.
And you can't tell Kevin's wearing them under the table right now. And we also have a nice travel package.
Join over 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TSP at manscaped.com.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot of balls.
Well, Ashley, you're like,
yeah, that's a whole
I gotta leave
chapter.
You out of this, Ashley.
I had a revolving door, so
you know, you had the perfect cover though.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you started to identify, I don't know what age you were, but mom, dad, don't worry about it. I'm identifying as a woman, so I'm just going to have a woman come in there. Well, that don't fucking work either. So you had like the perfect cover.
Listen, if you try to figure this out, you're going to need a map.
Listen, I still haven't figured out after Ashley's episode. I still have so many questions. Like, what?
Yeah, but this.
Forget it.
You?
Trans woman,
you got questions? I should come on outside because I still got questions.
Look, turn it over to Mark. Let him start asking the questions.
So at what point did you as brother and sister let each other know that this is the direction of your life?
I don't know when she knew about me, but mine was when I had to commit her to Bergen Regional.
That's when you knew. And that was, you weren't young. You were
2016, so I was about 28.
You were 28 years old
when I finally
and you had hid that all your life.
Yep.
No wonder you got you were addicted to unhealthy behaviors.
Yep.
That's got to be a difficult secret to hide. Did you almost let it out or did you want to let it out?
I was out to any of my partners that I was dating, but I wasn't out publicly.
Okay. Were you growing your hair longer? Were you?
Not until then. Yeah. Until 2016, I presented masculine.
Did you date women back in the day?
Yep.
So did you dress up when you went out?
On occasion, but mostly just at home with my partners, and that was it. And then once that happened, after I got clean, I started my transition. Then I started to present feminine, and I grew my hair out and changed my wardrobe.
So what was that like when you committed her? And you found this out?
Worst day of our family life, for sure.
Because of her committal or because of the fact that she's identifying as a woman?
Well, I still didn't know. So what happened was she had hit rock bottom. And I guess, you know, as family, we're blind to our family, mm-hmm. right? The worst thing we could ever do is try to treat one of our own family members, you know, as an officer, as a fireman, as an EMT. It's the worst thing. You can't focus. You can't think. You know, it just doesn't work. She had hit rock bottom. All the signs and symptoms I had been ignoring, hoping that they'd go away, hoping that she'd, you know, he would find his way or whatever it was.
She was right.
Well, it was he at the time.
there's a delineated point where you became she.
Correct. Unknown she. and it was pretty much either go to jail or go to the Bergen Regional. Mm. You know, my parents didn't want him in the house. And I don't know if it was alcohol, drugs, emotions, you know.
All the above.
But again, we didn't know. And I had kept arguing with him. I said, listen, if you're gay, just say it because you got two gay brothers. The track's already laid. You just got to ride the rails. You know,
it's a little bit more than that, Mark.
but didn't say, you know, and I understand because I hit it when I was younger. You know, you never know. And I don't remember 7-10 days in Bergen Regional, really had no idea what was going on. And when we picked her up at Bergen Regional, it was my sister.
Went in as my brother, came out as my sister.
Wow.
And our lovely healthcare system, because of HIPAA, let's not talk to the family and friends. Just come pick up your Wow. Family member.
That's okay. They thought I was delusional. If you look at my paperwork from the hospital, it says, oh, he was delusional about being a woman. Even though I said that, hey, I'm an addict. I've been using drugs because I'm hiding that I am truly trans. They chalked it all up to drugs.
So, unfortunately, Bergen Regional wasn't equipped to handle the situation. Mm. Since then, because of Ashley's case and because of us speaking up about it, they now have an entire department committed to LGBTQ health.
Which is now Newbridge Medical.
That's amazing. Like I want you to really take it easy on your parents for the rest of your life. Because what you put your parents through, and I try to put myself in your parents' shoes. What you put your parents through, my son has a drug problem, needs help, goes into the hospital. Now my daughter is clean. And I know it sounds humorous, but think about the stresses of that your parents are just trying to give you the best life you can have. And did that ever come into your mind? Like, when I come out, is this going to be too big of a shock for them?
Or are they going to accept me like this?
It's always a concern. And that's why it took me 28 years to finally come out, because even though I know they love me, I know they care about me, like, being gay has become more accepted, as you said before, but trans is still paving our way. And there's always that fear. Like, there are still people that judge me on a regular basis. For the most part, my coworkers, my family, they've all accepted me very well, but you still run into a few people here and there.
Now, do you hold it against those people who judge you like that?
No, I just laugh at them. They get really mad when you smile at them.
Chalk it up to ignorance, maybe?
Yeah. Well, some of it's ignorance. Some of it, they're just assholes.
Yeah.
Because if I were to meet you 30 years ago, I probably would have judged you much more harshly than I do now. That's the truth.
The old Kevin.
That's absolutely the truth.
Like, thought they were a freak of some
I'm not going to say that I've been woke my whole life. I'm not. I'm not a woke person. I'm an accepting person. All right? But we all have that in us to judge. We judge people every single day. That's why I
get to hear about what we say about you when you leave.
Yeah. But if you were to be able to give them an experience like both of you have given Mike and I, where it's a kind experience, it's an educating experience.
Eye-opening.
You may be able to change people's perspective.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Where they can accept you. They may not affirm. They may not agree with your lifestyle. And right. That's fine. That's cool. Everybody's allowed for that. But you're not looking for affirmation. You're looking for acceptance.
Right. We're not pushing our agenda on you. Right. We're just educating you to it.
You mean you don't do like the gay conversion?
I mean, Nick would love to, but
the Jedi mind trick, but you are now gay.
But there are some people that still think it's contagious. Yeah, I was at work in an EMS uniform driving an ambulance. I walked into Dunkin' Donuts and there was this woman with her cute daughter in the place. And I just waved hi, and the woman shielded her daughter from me like I was contagious, literally scooped her up with both arms and dragged her away from me.
I told this story, I think it was during your episode, where I'm in Dunkin' Donuts and there was a trans person behind me. And I remember my wife turning to me and go, wow, that's a big woman. And I go, that ain't a woman.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I go, that ain't a woman. How can you tell? Women don't have Adam's apples, and look at the size of those paws on the end of her arms. I mean, just gigantic. Like, Mark, same question goes to you. How did you breach that subject to your parents?
I think they breached it with me. It was just, hey, your guy friends can't stay over anymore. Oh.
You're too much squeaking in the bed when your friends stay over. Okay, I know you're not jumping on it.
I can't afford the lube anymore. That's it.
They can't use the door, so all right, I got a window.
And they were, once they accept, what age were you?
God, I don't even know. I was young. I would say high school, so 17, 18-ish.
Okay.
Who was the first one to come out to your parents?
Officially, I would say my middle brother.
Yeah.
Did he just come in and say?
No, he did the Jedi mind trick. He invited my parents up to visit him and his roommate at college, and there was only one bed and one bedroom. So on the way home, my mother called me up, and she goes, have you met your brother's roommate? I said, yeah. She goes, where does he sleep? I go, I don't know.
On top of my brother?
And it was like, huh.
Oh, yeah, maybe there's something going on there. I don't know.
So then you came out next?
Yeah, kind of. I think that's when all the puzzle pieces started coming together.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, the night you came out and the parents laying in bed going, here we go again.
What the fuck? Here we
go again. Yeah, I don't know what that conversation was like.
They just didn't want to admit it.
Well, were you accepting?
And then you came out and they went, oh.
Were you accepting of Mark and your brother's gayness? I don't know what the word is. Like, I'm sorry, I'm ignorant on that.
Yeah, we've always been a supportive family.
Do you remember what you said to Mark when you first found out?
Probably nothing. I was like, whatever.
Okay.
No, I think you said next time close this bathroom door.
Oh, there you go. That works too.
I don't need to see that shit. But that's so your parents, that would be an interesting time to be a fly on a wall. Your parents, like Mike said, sitting in bed going, your brother comes out. Like, what the hell did we do? Did they start looking at themselves saying, what did we do anything wrong? Did we raise them differently?
We never really had a conversation like that. It was just kind of accepted.
Yeah.
That
might be a question to ask them because they didn't do anything wrong.
No, not at all.
But, you know, it's normal for a parent to take the blame whenever their child does something that they don't, that doesn't align with their values. So, what do you think they would say?
I'm not sure. I mean, my mother works as a crossing guard and she's, been a good Samaritan and talk to other individuals of the LGBT community when she sees them struggling and in town and in the area. So
she's become somewhat of an ambassador,
an ally. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Mike and I, that's how I consider Mike and I, we're ambassadors where, listen, we're not gay, but we support our friends. It doesn't matter your friends, like the friends come before your sexual orientation.
Well, you're helping spread the education and the knowledge. You're asking the questions that everybody else is afraid to ask.
You guys are spreading the knowledge. We're just the idiots that are standing there asking stupid questions and see if you'll answer them.
I'll answer anything you want there, buddy.
Now
be careful what you ask.
Yeah. You have this whole family now that goes against the grain. I don't think that's wrong to say. Those people who are around you, did they ask you that question? Like, you know, is there something in the paint?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. How was
uneducated people.
Like, how is your family viewed in the community?
We always just blame the tap water.
You got lead pipes. Don't worry about it.
I mean, I lost a couple friends in the beginning and then gained more in the long run. And I'm grateful for all my friends. They're all supportive.
So we talked about it a little bit off air that when you came in, we had this guy who was he was so gung-ho about this show. Oh, you guys are doing great work. You guys are doing great things. And then your episode aired. How dare you have gay people on there? They're indoctrinating our kids. Like all the buzzwords came out. And my opinion was, I don't really want you to listen.
And he wasn't even from here.
No, he's in the Philippines. He was an American in Philippines.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even want you to listen, man. Go be on your own way. But both of you must deal with that.
Oh, constantly. I mean, there's still states that are banning laws and trying to pass laws and banning LGBTQ books. I mean, there's still hate out there.
But we spoke about that on both of your episodes, the indoctrination and what age is too young. And there's certain places in this country, which I don't agree with, that are sexualizing things. Let them know there's option A, B, C, D, E, these are your options. But beyond that, until they get to the human sexuality age, I don't particularly agree with talking anything sexual. Not man, woman, man, woman, woman. Doesn't matter.
Listen, we're in the community, and there's still stuff we don't get. And we don't understand why they're talking about it or doing it.
Listen, I don't mind telling young kids that there are different sexual orientations, right? But they're like beating into these kids' heads.
Well, look what Target did. Target lost billions.
So did Bud Light.
Billions on what they
don't
do.
Get me started. Yeah. Bud Light.
Bud Light was stupid for putting out that commercial. Like your wheelhouse is rednecks.
Yeah.
Why would you think about that from a business perspective?
You're not wrong, but then again, why should it matter who sponsors them?
It that ad exec did not last long.
No, yeah.
Did not.
But Target, all right. Listen, you want to have a pride display? Go for it. But on Memorial Day, it should be the American flag.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I think where Target messed up is they were making those gender bender underwear for kids to hide, like especially male kids to hide their penis. And it was kids. Like it wasn't teens. It was kids. Like why does a kid need to hide their penis?
Again, we're going to go back to Ashley's episode when which those gender benders have duct tape in there.
Yeah.
We need to get Ashley's better half in here to figure that one out. All right. Time to take the tape off. It was one of the most educating experiences I've ever had. I'm dead serious because all those questions I had to ask.
He'd been dying to ask somebody.
I've been dying to ask somebody. Like,
sure, he was. He wants to learn.
Yeah, of course. We all should learn. We all should strive for education on this stuff.
So just to follow up on that, anybody from our community who has pride in our country is going to say the American flag should fly first. So the whole thing with Target, I think, was just a mistake. They brought their stuff out early, and it caused a bunch of controversy. Mm.
But they're paying for it now. They're paying for it. You, when you're in business, no matter what it is, like when you go out on a fire call, are you waving the pride flag?
I have one on my helmet.
You have one in your helmet.
Yeah, but, I have a small one on my helmet.
But you're going there to fight a fire.
Right.
All right? So it doesn't matter.
No.
The only thing I've seen the only time I think I've ever seen maybe a pride flag on a fire engine, because they all have the American flags hanging off them,
yep,
is maybe for a parade.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Yep. Or the purple flags for when we have a loss of life, the bunting.
When it's time to get to work, everybody's the same.
Yeah.
When it's time to go to work as an EMT, Ashley, everybody's the same.
Absolutely.
You don't run up to a house and say, oh, I'm here. I'm a trans EMT. You know? Or you don't go up and say, I'm here, I'm a gay fireman.
Nor do we go up.
You go up, I'm an EMT, I'm here to help you.
I'm a heterosexual cop, yeah. I'm here to save you. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's just,
we'll have to put the symbols on the back of the cop cars.
Yeah, when's it time for a straight flag?
There is one.
There's a straight flag?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
It's black, white, and gray stripes.
God, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah.
It's dividing us and in distracting everybody from the fact that we're all just human beings. That's
right.
Well, you like I said, especially in the first responder field, who the fuck cares what your orientation is? Aren't we all out there to help people?
We're there for somebody's worst day.
Exactly. And you don't have to identify yourself to get there.
And we don't.
But how do you both support each other? And your third brother, I don't know if you want to say his name on air. I don't want to overstep my bounds. But how do you support each other in your difficulties that you experience? I'm sure you know, the difficulties aren't over for you.
We keep in touch. I check on her, you know, when my parents aren't around, you know, we invite each other over, invite each other out, just keep an eye on each other. But we each have our own lives and partners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I call him the vent when I run into stupid people at work or...
You know, I mean, that's got to be such a good family dynamic, too, because you can vent about the same things. You know, like someone that's either gay bashing or trans bashing or something, you can call them up. Hey, Mark, guess what this fucking idiot did today?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because when you...
And you understand.
We talked about it on Instagram Live tonight. We talked about...
Submarine.
Well, yeah, we did talk about that. But we talked about putting your lives out there for public display. And if you put your lives out there for public display, you have to be ready and prepared to get some clapback.
Yep.
And have you received any public clapback from your lifestyles?
Yeah, definitely. But just ignore them most of the time. Like, I'll post stuff, and of course, all the friends, family, they're all like, oh, that's great, wonderful.
So not all of it's great. I'm here to tell you, not all of it's great.
Yeah, well, but then you get those idiots that make rude comments, and you just keep scrolling by. You're like, whatever, this guy's just an idiot.
But why not just keep your comments to yourself?
Because I'm talking to Mark one day, I'm like, you got to tell Ashley stop, because I'm rolling through Instagram
you punished me, because you made me go look.
Your plan worked. You got him to look.
That was Snapchat. And then I called. You want to follow my Snapchat? Be prepared.
Made you look.
I'm not friends with her on Snapchat.
No, I'm not friends with you. It's Instagram it was on. The one on Instagram, like...
I don't remember. I don't want to think about it.
I don't know. My Instagram is more PG.
Yeah, I'm not on... I don't do the Snapchat thing. But, you know, aren't you ever afraid that one day it's going to hurt your professional lives? And are your parents there to back you up if it ever does?
It could. Like I said, I've spoke as a keynote for the county executive. I'm chairman of the state... chairman of New Jersey for a national nonprofit, and we get emails and messages to our Instagram and our Twitter, you know, similar to what you got. You're tainting our children and all this kind of stuff. And there's still a lot of hate out there, but like Ashley said, we just ignore it, you know, click, delete, and just keep moving forward.
Well, sometimes I like them just to annoy them. They'll write something mean and I'll like the comment. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Thank you for your comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they're actually baiting you and trying to give them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Give them a little
more ammo
and say, look, these people are all just miserable.
Right.
You know, and then you go back, what do you mean these people? What are you talking about, these people? But as the kids, as it starts to become more and more acceptable at a younger age, we have to change the way we do things. And I'll give you a perfect example of this. I know I have a friend of mine who was coaching somebody who is identifying as a boy, born a woman. And when you coach certain sports, especially boys sports, you know, if you say balls, these kids, they'll giggle, you know, and that's like, guys, you got
Mike still giggles.
Yeah, I do.
Watch this.
Poop. Fart. Yeah, poop. No, like farts. Farts are funny. You say fart, I'll crack up.
Of course. He had to change his dynamic on how he coached those kids because, you know, you got the young kids, you're like, guys, and you make sure the parents aren't around. You got to show some balls. And you're like, oh, because one kid doesn't have balls. So you don't want to exclude it. And you're not doing it to be exclusionary.
It's tough. It's tough. You got to watch everything you say and everything you do these days.
But how much grace does the community give for the changing of those values?
Not as much as they should. People like me, I get to know you. You can say something wrong. We'll educate you. I don't take it offensively, you know.
Because grace is defined as you get a hug instead of a punch in the face.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I agree with that. That's right. That's the definition of grace. And things like that have been ingrained for hundreds of years.
Right. Some people hold to they're offended and that's it. You know, yeah. We're about educating and changing the stigma that's out there because I'm not here to push our agenda on you. I want you to respect us as much as we respect you.
Nick might like that.
Well, Nick doesn't want to push an agenda.
Yeah. He wants to push a stool.
So your parents now being ambassadors, do you look at them with a lot more grace and understanding for what they went through?
We look out for them and take care of them more than we did back then. Have a different appreciation for them.
You know, kids are very selfish. Kids are always, it's traditional with kids. Kids are very selfish and because they're not confident. So they think of the world ethnocentrically. The world revolves around them and they don't think of the effects of what it may have on somebody else where, you know, you're living the way you want to live, the way that you were born to live. Your parents probably had a different vision. Do you know, did they ever talk to you like, hey, we wanted to have grandkids. We wanted to have all that stuff.
Oh, they're still waiting for grandkids.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to work.
I kind of shot that one in the foot.
You and Nick, I don't know, dude.
He was the last hope.
although I did. Well, let's think about that.
Time out 1 minute. You could still, you identify as a lesbian.
Correct.
Right? So you date women. There's a possibility for grandchildren.
Anya, you're
at
up.
Point.
No. The hormones that I'm taking, I have actually been chemically castrated, basically.
And yeah, we talked about that last time. And yep. They may come back if you stop or may not come back, but
it's a possibility to get sperm count back if you stop taking the hormones, but it's not guaranteed.
One of those could slip through, right? Well, I mean, I'm sure you got some in there.
I've been on hormones for almost 5 years now. So
Robert De Niro just had a kid at 82.
He's a jackass.
What's his sperm count got to be like?
You only need one.
Only one.
His sperm count is like powder.
Poof. But I think your parents are saints.
Oh, most certainly.
Because they went through something very difficult and
three times.
When you have little babies, you just want the best for them, and your lifestyles are not easy lifestyles.
Yeah.
And they know you're going to have to overcome some difficulties.
But I think what the thing is their lifestyle is the best for them.
Of course. Right?
You know 100%. What I'm saying? You say your parents want the best for their kids. I think the way they're living is the best for them right now.
But don't forget, as a parent, you know, you want the best for them as long as it aligns with what you see the best for them is.
And getting there without the struggle.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. What do you think the hardest thing that you both had to struggle with?
Self-acceptance.
That's a big one because that was something that I wanted to talk about. How do you support yourself?
Yep.
That's the reason, like you said, you'd know better than that. You don't come out for a long time.
Yep. There are people that don't come out until they're 50 or 60 because they can't accept themselves, fear of public, and it takes a lot.
I'm sure the suicide rate is huge in the LGBTQ community.
Double? It's almost 50%.
Unfortunately, it's doubled since COVID.
Wow.
Well, that's you do see. I have noticed that in the, say, I want to say the alternative lifestyle, because I want to encapsulate everything. In the alternative lifestyle community, drugs are a problem because it's a coping mechanism.
Drugs, homelessness, all of it.
And yeah, parents kick them out.
And it's not even the LGBTQ plus community. I mean, we're seeing a increase across the board, even in heterosexual
people like you.
Yeah.
Even in people like you.
Darn cis people.
Like, stay away from my when I have a kid, stay away
darn
from
them. Straight guys.
You icky straight people.
I don't want you indoctrinating my kid with this straight nonsense.
But yeah, mental health is through the roof for all of us. Doesn't matter where we come from or what you're into.
I'm sure you have friends in your community whose parents weren't as accepting. Right?
Did they get, like, I've got friends that are
thrown
still
out of there.
I have friends that are still homeless.
Really?
Wow. Do you ever offer them, knowing what they're going through, do you ever offer them a place?
Oh, of course. I've had friends crash over until they can get on their feet.
Yeah.
And some of them just, they know it's there, but they want to get on their feet without the help, and they're determined.
Like, families write them off and everything? Like, I'm not going to have a gay kid in my house.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
That's sad.
That is sad.
They're your blood. They're your blood, and when you hold that baby is, there's something special inside of you. And maybe those people should have never been parents, people who deny their children.
Yeah.
Can't speak for that. Don't know the whole dynamics, but the few people that we've become acquaintances with and friends with, some of them were tossed out when they came out.
Because they came out or because of other things? And there's a reason I asked that.
I'm not too sure if there was more to it, mm-hmm. but I have one or two friends that I can think of right off the cuff that came out. The one's father, unfortunately, is a law enforcement officer.
His dad
said, I don't want you living in the house.
Macho type A personality, not my son.
You both have this this dual bond between you two. Do you think that is there any friction?
No. When we were younger,
they
we used
argue
to love,
about who's
we
gayer?
Used to love to fight. But no, now I feel like my main goal is to look out for her.
I mean, do you ever call each other derogatory names that you only hear from other people?
Oh yeah, I wanted to kill her when she got here.
Today?
Yeah, and then when you showed me her Instagram, I wanted to shoot her.
Well,
But normally, no.
I wanted to burn my eyes out, actually.
You'd rather look at Nick, huh?
Of course.
I could just imagine him getting into an argument and Ashley saying to Nick, like, or to Mark, shut up, you gay bastard.
Well, wait a minute. You're kind of gay, too, so stop. Now, if you saw parents going through something similar to your parents, and you being the children of them, you have a unique perspective. How do you think you could coach both the kids and the parents through a very, very difficult question? I want you both to answer this one separately because this is valuable information.
That's a tough one, Kev, because every dynamic is so different.
There are some universals. Like, the one universal I can think of off the top of my head is no matter what they are, they're your kids. You've got to support.
Right. I mean, you could say that, but that doesn't mean it's going to sink in. Mm. I'm definitely not a mental health professional, but...
You stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last
night?
But I played one on TV once.
Yeah. I mean, you need guidance, you know? I would be better off helping the child.
But maybe your parents, it's time for them, if they really want to be ambassadors for both of you, maybe they need to support groups.
You can ask them.
I will. I've been trying to get in front of you.
I'd love to hear that conversation.
Bring them in. It's like, first of all, I want to admit that I'm straight.
On camera. Good luck with that one.
No, I actually would really love to talk to your parents and get their perspective.
We could try. I don't know how far you're going to get.
We could blur out their faces.
And deepen their voices.
Yeah, voiceovers.
Yeah, do like a, what is the samurai movies?
Pixelate in the screen.
The kung fu movies.
Andrew's ready.
What would you tell the kids?
You'd have to talk to them, find out what they're struggling with, what their questions are, and try to just guide them as best you can. And then there's organizations like PFLAG, which are parents of LGBTQ families, where the parents could get advice from other parents that have gone through it.
Because
there's lots of organizations out there.
Because it's kind of like being a parent for the first time. Like, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. I learned.
Right.
But I had resources. So
right. There's resources out there. People have to just reach out for them.
Well, do you know any of them off the top of your head?
So, PFLAG is for parents.
Okay.
PFLAG? PFLAG.
What is that an acronym for?
tongue.
I don't know, but parents of...
First, I swear to God, at first I thought you said P-fag.
So did I. What the so did I. I was going to say...
P-flag. Parents, it's for parents. It's an organization for parents. They have meetings, and it's like a social group. There's GLSEN, which is it's K through 12, student advocacy, professional development for teachers and schools. There's New Jersey Buddies for people dealing with addiction, HIV. I mean, there's a whole bunch.
And they partner with Pathways for a transgender group.
Well, that's a good question. Do you ever worry about that? Because when we were growing up, like HIV was a gay disease. It was a gay disease. You know, if you were straight, you were immune to it. But if you were gay...
Buddies does a large focus on HIV prevention, and they actually got me free PrEP medication for 2 years through their program.
Is that the stuff that blocks it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Prevents it. Preventative.
I saw a commercial for that.
Yeah.
And they got to make those commercials better, because they still make it out to be a gay thing.
Yeah, exactly. They put two gay people on
and like not just like two men, like two like really effeminate men. It's not a good look for them. If they were to put two straight people in, it's for everybody.
Well, it is. So I actually started it. My doctor put me on it after I got my second or third needle stick on an ambulance.
Okay.
There
you go. So it's not even for sexually transmitted disease. Exactly. It's for needle sticks too. Well, blood transmission.
It's right. HIV. I mean, it's for HIV prevention. Yeah. So I think it was South River Street in Hackensack. Medics working on a homeless guy, and I went to do something and I got pricked for the third time. My doctor was like, listen, this is happening too often. She goes, I want you to, you know, and she put me on PrEP then. And that's when I was like, well, is this good because I'm gay too? And she's like, and that's when I came out to the doctor.
Oh, before that you didn't?
Nah, she didn't need to know. You know, I was like, I'm getting a two for one here.
See, when he said he got pricked, he didn't say, he didn't tell a doctor what he really meant.
But I originally started it as a precaution for work.
Yeah, well, so that is information that needs to get out there. Instead of making it a sexual thing, it is a protective thing. It's like nothing different than putting on your PPE or your personal protective equipment. Yeah. So why isn't that spoken of? Why they got to bring it there?
I think it's just marketing. I mean, you all know that the pharmaceutical companies mark it all up, and they're going for the larger demographic, which is the LGBTQ community.
I don't know.
It's also only focused towards biological males.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that myself.
Well, I'm thinking about the commercial in my head. I'm replaying it in my mind, and I don't think there's any
gay men and trans women.
Well, is the trans community, is that something that's fearful in the trans community?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's fearful in every community.
Well, it's fearful in a heterosexual community, too. It's
fearful in first responders, too, like you said.
I've been married for 20 years. I got no fear of that.
Yeah, but back in the day,
well, if you were single working, and you're floating around, who knows?
No, but Oyster Bar. That's where he was.
I know. He went back to the police academy.
Yeah, he had to go back there.
But like you said, back in the day when we were working, you know, how many needles did you come across? You get poked with a needle.
Oh, cops. Yeah. How many?
Patting someone down.
Blood exposure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like you said, the gentleman who climbed on a car and took head stabilization.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not something you'd think about as it's bloodborne pathogen.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not something you would think about as being a danger. Like, I think I would probably do the same thing regardless of whatever happens. It's kind of like, so when you went through CPR,
right?
I didn't put my mouth on anybody. I'm just not doing it, you know, but has there ever come a time where you put your mouth on somebody? I used to have a CPR instructor.
I did CPR twice with mouth to mouth on an infant. It's two different infants. Yeah. That was the only time.
So I used to, one of our CPR instructors, he used to say, you know, everybody says you don't put your mouth on anybody, just do the chest compressions and stuff. And he goes, but I was out at a campground, guy got struck by lightning right in front of me. I put my mouth on his. And he had a mustache too. I'm like, what did that feel like?
I was on an airplane and a 9-month-old went unresponsive.
On an airplane?
On an airplane.
Oh,
did CPR
Lord.
For 40 minutes on a 9-month-old.
Oh.
But see, now
I don't want to ask what the outcome was.
We're thinking about that,
woke
too.
Up.
Really?
Yeah.
You think about that, too. You think, oh, it's only an infant. I didn't know that infant wasn't born with HIV.
Right.
Yep,
unfortunately, that was a thought that didn't go through my head.
Yeah. Well, listen, as a first responder, you're going to act first and think later.
Yep.
But, you know, just getting back to that commercial before, wouldn't that be a great marketing thing to put first responders on that commercial?
Absolutely.
Why do you have to have...
Well, everything else is military-grade shit, right? Yeah. So every commercial you see for a flashlight is military-grade flashlight, and people buy the shit out of it when they don't realize
that
military...
Military-grade, yeah.
Not fleshlight, flashlight.
He's got a couple of those in his pocket.
He just dropped his bowling ball.
So military-grade, people don't realize that military means the lowest bidder. So it's the shittiest stuff. It's not the best stuff, but they put military-grade out there. So if they put military-grade... anti-HIV. People will buy the shit out of it. So why market it that way?
Why make it cost $120 a pill?
Is that what it costs?
I think it came down a little bit now, but yeah.
Wow. Now, I'm assuming insurance doesn't cover it.
It's like $1,200 when I fill my prescription every month.
Oh, my God. And insurance has no
part. Well, yeah, insurance covers it once you get past your deductible. Oh, yeah. Everyone's insurance plan's got different deductibles.
My insurance, I worked for a hospital. My insurance wouldn't cover it. Which is why I had to go to Buddies and get it through them.
Black market.
I have to commend your whole family, both you, your brother, and your sister, for sticking with each other through some difficult times. And I know, listen, you're no different than any brother and sister. I'm sure you have your disagreements.
Oh, yeah.
But it's cool to say you always got your back. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most endearing things of why I wanted you on when I found out how heavily you vetted us for your sister. It was.
I called him. I was like, these two guys wanted me. They're macho men. I don't know what to expect.
there's a good point. You judged, and then you had the courage to come in, which is very commendable. You had the courage to come in. And how was your mind changed? Not how our mind was changed. We've spoken very openly about how our mind was changed. How was your mind changed?
She came in after both of your backgrounds cleared.
She paid for us to get
married. Well, you know our community. Everybody knows that somebody.
Well, you have to. I imagine you have to vet the people you're around a little closer.
Not so much.
No. I think she took yours on good faith.
I just go out.
She was referred to us by what? EMS Eric.
Eric, yeah.
Yeah. I just go out, put myself out there the way I am, and if you don't like it, that's your problem. We don't have to be friends.
But once you were in here, what
you guys, I was actually telling my friend on the way here, I was like, you guys made it so comfortable the first day I came in. I was so anxious and nervous, and then I sat down with you. You made it easy.
Within 5 minutes, you forget there's a microphone in front of you.
Yep, and then I was cracking jokes at you guys by the end of it.
Well, that's what we want, because we want to have that open conversation. Mark, I mean, she laid the track.
Yeah, I just had to ride the rail.
Yes. Was your mind changed at all when you sat in here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, she called me up. She's like, hey, I'm going to go be on a podcast. And I was like, you're going to do what? And she goes, oh, yeah, they're two cops, or used to be cops, or something like that. And I was like, wait a minute, what? So did a little bit of research, listened to a little bit of your podcast, the first couple episodes, Prairie Fire.
Prairie Fire, episode 9.
And I was like, all right, they seem legit. And, you know, did a little more research and was like, okay. And she came. She told me it was, I forget what exactly her words were, but she was like, it was a valuable experience, and waited for the episode to air. And when it aired, listened to it and heard how supportive you guys were. And I saw a change in her after the episode. You know, whether she believes it or not, I definitely saw a change in her attitude and her demeanor. For the better. So anyone that helps her and makes her better is a friend and family to me. And then, you know, you guys reached out and they're like, oh, they want you on the podcast. So I was like, all right. Me and Nick took the trip down. And
You didn't have to do any vetting then.
No, you already vetted. Yeah. I should have brought a leash for Nick. But other than that.
But all we want is perspective.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. He got your perspective.
I felt what it was like to be a woman at a bar. Again, another myth I want to dispel here is every guy you see, do you want him?
No.
Really?
No.
God.
Depends
on the guy.
Surprising.
Depending on the guy.
Depending on the guy.
He's got your number, Kev.
Kevin always says he never felt so uncomfortable in the studio.
I felt what it was like to be a woman at a bar going.
with a big rack.
Funny. All right. But, you know, it's turned out to be this very fruitful relationship because, you know, you've introduced me to quite a few people who I've spoken to. The one officer who is gay, which I still have to.
Matt.
I still have to talk to him.
And Mark reached out to us when Butchie Sanchez needed a kidney.
That's right. Oh, that's yes. right.
Yeah, Dr. Yeah, yeah, my friend Guerrero, surgeon.
By the way, he did get a kidney.
I heard. Yeah, I heard. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I heard he's doing, the one of the episodes you said he was doing well.
So I spoke with him when he was a week out, and he's doing well. So, you know, as difficult as you had it growing up, look at what you're doing now. You're giving back when sometimes people haven't been very kind to you.
Listen, all you can do is pay it forward. And, you know, like I said, we were raised by great parents. Don't show up empty handed. Appreciate everybody. Respect everybody. And if you can help somebody, help them. You know, I just got two kids jobs in the last week that said, hey, I can't find a job. They didn't even ask. I found them a job, you know.
And if somebody wasn't able to look past the fact that you live a different lifestyle than they live, maybe somebody wouldn't have got a job. Maybe somebody wouldn't have had an opportunity to get a kidney. Maybe they're missing out on a lot of stuff by judging people.
Well, we're all quick to judge. The first thing we do is we judge somebody and we point out their mistakes and the first thing they do wrong. We very rarely in society now commend people for doing something right.
I still think that there should be a documentary on your family.
Jeez.
I still think there should do a whole documentary.
I hope Andrew's ready to start making documentaries now.
So we are coming to the end of this thing. Anything you want to throw out there? Anything you want to plug?
No, just if you're struggling or if you know somebody who's struggling in the LGBTQ+ community, reach out. There's tons of resources.
Reach out to us if you want to get to Mark or you want to give out your Instagram or whatever you want to do. I know you barely
got
remember.
You got my Instagram.
I do. It'll be in the show notes.
But there's Glisten, P-Flag, Buddies.
There's the Suffering Podcast.
Yeah, listen, you're making a difference. One podcast at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, anybody out there, if they can't get in touch with them, get in touch with us.
Yeah.
You know, that's one you said, pay it forward. That's what me and Kevin do all the time. If someone listen, we're very easy to reach.
Yes.
You know, if they don't want to come right to you, come to us and we'll send them off to you and you guys could help them.
Yep. We'll guide you in the right direction. Like I said, I don't stake any claim to being a mental health professional, but I'll guide you in the right direction.
It's the Henry Ford. Which it's a bad example because Henry Ford was a rampant Nazi and hated Jews. But Henry Ford said, I don't know everything, but I know where to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, Ashley, anything you want to plug?
No, just reach out if you need help. There's so many support groups, whether they're online or in person. There's always somebody out there that can help you that's been there.
So, same question that I ask at the end of every show. You've gone through this just challenging family dynamic. What do you think it's taught you?
No matter how hard it is to do the right thing, you have to do it. The hardest thing in my entire life was committing my brother. Watching the cops and the ambulance take him away.
And then picking up
your sister.
That was the most comical thing probably ever. Because I had a lot more questions than you had.
Just walking out like this. What?
I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was definitely a switcheroo.
You ran in and said, what the fuck did you guys do to my brother?
Well, I went in as an unemployed male drug addict and came out as an employed female college student.
There you go. So that freedom that you had of finally being you released all of that and actually paved the way for success.
It put me on a lot better path. Absolutely.
So what is that suffering of growing up in this environment taught you?
To be yourself. To just embrace who you are, be you, and just pay it forward.
Took you 28 years to be yourself, though.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the younger generation won't have to wait that long.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a little. I think it's a lot. It's changing.
Yeah.
Every generation, it gets a little bit younger.
Like I said, it's getting more accepting now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we never used to like bald guys, but now they're.
Well, he's not bald. He's got this little patch.
I don't know what that is, though. He forgot to
use his Scaper 200 there.
He had more hair when he came out of the womb than he's got right now. I love you both. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're family. I'm glad that you're part of us.
Oh, we're here for you too.
All right. Yeah.
It's always a pleasure seeing both of you. I mean, you guys, like, you're family. You're definitely family to us.
Yeah. And you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
All right.
And I got my overkill thing.
And you got your overkill.
And we know how much and we know how much Kevin likes country music.
Jesus, country music. Country music. I just said, no, no. I accept everybody for who they are except country music. Them damn hillbillies can get the hell out of America.
I think there's more of us than there are you.
Stop it with that. You understand how crazy that is. I'm more accepting of your lifestyle than I am of country music.
I know, and I'm a redneck.
Oh, that's horrible. You're just an anomaly. Both of you are anomaly. I don't even.
My wedding song is going to be a country song, there, buddy. You're gonna be able to survive that.
Any drinks?
What's
buddy?
That? Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
No, that's yours and Nick's.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Suffering Podcast, The Suffering of Family Dynamics with Mark Hettinger and Ashley Marie Terry. I'm so thrown off my game. As usual, let's think about all the stuff that we learned. Don't judge anybody by its lowest common denominator. Support is the only thing family needs. Judging can ruin your joy, but most importantly, if we just talk, it's all we got to do is just talk. That's going to do it for this episode. Don't forget to follow us on all social media. Go to popple.com for your digital business card. Put in TSP20 for a 20% discount. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Twitter, Clapper. You can
Grindr.
You can find Mike at Mike underscore.
Fans only.
Only fans.
Only fans, whatever it is. Not my bad.
Fans only. You can find Mike at Mike underscore Fillets. You can find me at Real Kevin Donaldson. And of course, follow the Suffering Podcast. And we're going to see you on the next episode if we're not canceled.